The World Tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. My friends, what is going to happen in the future? What lies in store for us? You're going to live into it and through these times. What's the meaning of all this world disturbance since the year of 1914 when World War I broke out? The answer is all written out in advance in Bible prophecy, and it certainly is the most fascinating, the most interesting thing right now, and it's mighty vital that we know what this is all about. What's causing all of these disturbances in the world today? Times haven't been like this before. Never before, my friends, have there been weapons that were capable of annihilating human life from off this planet. My friends, you don't know now what a single day may bring forth. We're not going to live forever the way we are now unless we receive eternal life as God's gift. Otherwise, we certainly are not going to. A lot of people don't seem to realize that. We just go along as if everything's going to go this way forever, and we're easygoing, we're not concerned. Well, I want to tell you, my friends, it's about time we became concerned. And now I want to give you a quick overall glance at what is prophesied for the future. An outline from here on, what prophecy says is going to happen from here on to the end. I've explained that approximately one-third of your Bible is devoted to prophecy. Even Jesus' gospel was prophecy. You find prophecies in Genesis. You find prophecies in the book of Deuteronomy. You find prophecies in the Psalms, in all the prophetic books from Isaiah on to Malachi. You find prophecies in the four gospels, in the teaching of Jesus, in the writings of the Apostle Paul. The book of Revelation is prophecy. Yes, you find prophecy in your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. About one-third of it is taken up with prophecy. It's mighty important right now when we're at the very end of this present age. Now, I've explained how it is only in the book of Revelation that all the other prophecies may be properly put together in time order. The book of Revelation doesn't mention all the other prophecies, but it does give you the time sequence by which you can know where or when every other prophecy you find in the Bible does fit in the time order. Otherwise, we'd be in utmost confusion. Now, the main prophecy in the book of Revelation begins in the sixth chapter. John was seeing this thing in vision, and when he comes to the prophecy of the sixth chapter, Jesus Christ alone was found worthy to open this book. The vision was up in heaven, apparently. He was down on the earth. He was seeing things that appeared to be in heaven, events that are to take place on the earth. Well, there he saw the vision of God the Father sitting on the throne. Jesus Christ coming and taking the book of this prophecy out of his right hand. It was rolled up in a long rolled scroll. It was sealed with seven seals. Only Jesus was able and had the ability to strip off those seven seals and to reveal the prophecy. One by one, he begins to strip them off in the sixth chapter of Revelation, and even there, all we see is symbol. First come the first four horsemen, the white horse, the red horse, and the black horse, and the pale horse. And it's still all symbol. Now, I've explained how Jesus spoke in parables in order to hide the meaning. Here are symbols in order to hide the meaning from people, and yet it's right in the Bible. It's never been actually closed except to those who did not understand, and yet many of the prophecies have been closed and sealed until now, as you read in the 12th chapter of the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel, the 12th chapter, where the angel told Daniel, who couldn't understand what he had seen in vision and what he was writing for us to read. The angel said, "Go thy way, Daniel. The words are closed and sealed until the time of the end, the time when knowledge will be increasing and people will run to and fro and so on." Well, here we are at the time when the wise can understand, but he said none of the wicked would understand, and I've explained before how the Bible explains which are the wise and which are the wicked. Now let's see if we can go right down and understand it. Jesus Christ is the revelator, not John. Jesus Christ, then, is the one who must reveal the meaning of these symbols. And we find that he does reveal the meaning of these symbols in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And first he said there would be many false Christs, or not necessarily false Christs, but false prophets, false preachers, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and yet deceiving the world. I've explained that in so many broadcasts. That's that white horse. Next would come war and fear of war. That's the red horse. But if he said that would happen right along from the very time he was living. In fact, there have been wars ever since there have been nations. In fact, even before there were nations, back in the days of city-states, one city warred against another. Ever since mankind has been organized into units or groups, there have been wars. Well, he said that didn't mean the end, for when we do come to the end time, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in world war. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, the time of great tribulation that he talks about. Now, in describing this great tribulation, he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. That's speaking individually of Christians that will be delivered up, tortured, martyred, if they do not recant of the truth, if they still hold to the word of God, to the words of the Bible, and will not take the pagan superstitions that will be forced on people at that time, on pain of death. Then he said, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And there he's speaking nationally. And so you find in the 21st chapter of Luke that he is speaking nationally of how our nation is to be invaded. And unless we wake up and realize that we have forsaken our God and turned to him, this nation is going to be conquered and is going down in defeat. That is in your Bible, and it's about time we wake up. And God Almighty is giving us the one way out, to turn to him. My friends, God warns us not to make allies of other nations, but to rely on the eternal our God. And when it comes to real faith in God and real reliance on God as our national God to deliver this nation, I tell you, we have forsaken God and we've forgotten all about him. Did you ever read back in the 33rd Psalm how God looks down from heaven, he beholds all mankind and all the things that we are doing, and where he says that armies do not bring victory to a king, that it is God who decides and determines the outcome of wars? Listen, my friends, we did not win World War I through any superior power and ability of our own. God Almighty saw to it and determined the outcome of that war. God Almighty gave us the victory in World War II when we were just about to suffer defeat. There were three tremendous miracles when God intervened, providential happenings that turned the tide in World War II and turned it our way. God Almighty determines the outcome of wars. God Almighty is determining what happens to nations. God Almighty is determining the rise, the fall of nations. But he determines it according to what extent we will put ourselves under his government, to what extent we will obey his laws that he has set in motion. He told ancient Israel that they would keep his commandments, obey his laws, that they would be rich and prosperous. And if other nations attacked them, five of them could chase 100, 100 of them could put 10,000 enemies to flight. And they'd have peace in their land. But he said if they didn't obey him, they'd be invaded and conquered and become a slave people. They didn't obey God, and they were invaded. They were conquered. They did become a slave people. It happened just like God Almighty says every time. And God Almighty is telling us what's going to happen to us if we don't wake up now. God help us. Why don't we have more voices that are warning you people of what's going to happen? That's the message of God. For this hour, I'm not talking politics. I'm here as the servant of God speaking to you in the name and by the authority of Jesus Christ and telling you what God says is coming on this nation because we're defying him, because we're relying on the arm of other nations and other people and human allies that God has condemned and told us not to do. and not relying on the eternal our God. We are the people of God, and God has given us the victory to give us another chance and another. But I tell you, my friends, we've come now to the end of the rope. We've come now to the place that if we don't wake up, God is not going to intervene to give us a victory again. And he's going to let us be punished as he punished ancient Israel, as he punished ancient Judah. So God is going to punish modern Israel. That means us. Now what is going to happen? There is going to come pestilence and famine. Now you find that also foretold back in Joel. And Joel says that there is going to come such a famine that the cattle and the horses and the sheep and the pasture are going to be totally bewildered. They won't understand why there is no pasture, no food for them. The sun will be so scorching hot it will just dry up everything. There'll be no grain to store up. And that famine is going to, we've had a few touches of it recently. You farmers in those areas have felt a little of it. But that's only a warning. That's only a forerunner. In the prophecy of Joel, you find, my friends, that it's going to be a universal one. It's going to hit us. It's going to hit the Canadians. It's going to hit the British. It's going to hit Northwestern Europe. And I tell you, immediately after is going to come an epidemic of disease that the doctors will not understand and will not be able to cope with. Now, here is Jesus in Matthew 24 interpreting and explaining the symbols of Revelation 6. And here are going to come at about the time of World War III and during these world wars, the famine and the pestilence. You find it in the first chapter of Joel. You find some more about that back here in Ezekiel. I'm going to show you how this sets the time order of all the prophecies. Let me read you one little verse back here in Ezekiel, the fifth chapter. And this is speaking of us now. And I'm going to show you there is a time order, a general story flow all the way through the book of Ezekiel, showing the prophecy right down to the end of this age, the end of this world, and the second coming of Christ, and the glorious, happy, peaceful world tomorrow. Here in the very first chapter, it says that it came to pass in the 30th year, the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, that Ezekiel was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and he saw these visions of God. It was the fifth day of the month, in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. That was during the captivity of the kings of Judah. Judah's captivity over 100 years. 130 years after the captivity of the house of Israel. Now the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, were divided into 2 different nations and had been hundreds of years before this time. And the nation Israel had gone into captivity first. They had been in their captivity over 100 years, over 130 years, before Ezekiel wrote. Now Ezekiel was sent as a prophet to the house of Israel, though he was among the Jews of the house of Judah. In chapter 2, he spake unto me, says Ezekiel, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me, impudent children, stiff-hearted. Yes, a rebellious house is the house of Israel. Now in chapter 3, moreover, he said to me, son of man, go speak unto the house of Israel. He was among the house of Judah. God said, go to the house of Israel. This was for Israel. Verse 4, he said unto me, son of man, go away from where you are among Judah. Get thee unto the house of Israel. They had migrated way up into northwestern Europe by that time, my friends, and that's where Ezekiel went. Speak my words unto them, but the message is for now. Ezekiel wrote it in a book, and it is for some modern Ezekiels whom Jesus Christ has called and raised up to shout this message to the modern Israel today, and that is our people today. Now, chapter 5, verse 12, listen. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with a famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. One-third of our people are going to die in this famine and this disease that's coming. My friends, that's the next thing to happen. We're getting some foretastes of it now. Now, frankly, I don't know how soon it's coming. I can't tell you whether it's coming in 6 months or a year or several years. I can tell you my judgment. Now, the Bible doesn't set the date. No man can know. No servant of Jesus Christ can tell you the exact date because he can only speak as God reveals, and God has not revealed that point. A third part of thee shall die with pestilence, and with a famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. Now listen, after that is going to come a time when Jesus said here, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now you turn over to Luke's account of this same identical message of Jesus, where he is really explaining what you find in Revelation, the 6th chapter. And in Luke, the 21st chapter, here we find it. Luke 21, and it's in verse 24, and it's speaking of our people. It's speaking of our nations, the United States, the British Commonwealth, the nations of Northwestern Europe, the nations we call the democracies. We, my friends, are God's people. This is speaking of us. If you don't understand how this is speaking of us, then let me tell you, you need to write in for our booklet, The United States in Prophecy. Send in and ask for that amazing booklet, The United States in Prophecy. It's a very attractive booklet. There's no charge whatsoever. The booklet, United States in Prophecy, we'll be happy to send it to you. And that will show you, my friends, how you can know where you find the United States mentioned in these prophecies. I can't identify that. I can't prove it right now on this broadcast. This booklet will give you all of the evidence and the proof. If your mind and heart is open, if you have your own Bible and you'll study it in your Bible, search your Bible whether these things be so and believe what you see there. Now, I tell you, this is speaking of our people. This is speaking of the United States and the British and the democracies. And it says here in verse 24, Jesus Christ said these words, Luke 21, verse 24, and they, speaking of our people, shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, the Jewish people have gone over to Jerusalem and to Palestine, and they have formed there the nation they call Israel. And half of the city of Jerusalem is going to remain with those people. The other half is going to be taken. That is prophesied. You read of it in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. You read of it in Revelation. You read of it in many, many places in your Bible. Also, you will read that the people of Judah, or the Jewish people, are going to be there fighting at the time that's coming. They had to go back to Palestine to fulfill that prophecy. They have not fulfilled the prophecy. They think they have, but they have fulfilled prophecy. Now then, there it is. I just read it to you, and that's speaking of our nation, our people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Now, here we are back here in Ezekiel 6 now, in verse 12. A third part shall fall by the sword. That shows how many of our people will fall. You have to learn how to put Scripture together, my friends. A third part of our people are going to fall by the sword round about thee, and God says, I will scatter the third part unto all the winds. One third are going to die of this famine and this disease epidemic that's coming. Another third, my friends, in the invasion that is coming, and the other third, I will scatter a third part unto all the winds and will draw out a sword after them. Now, what was it that Jesus said back here? They will fall by the edge of the sword, and those that remain, of course, not those that die, shall be led away captive into all nations. And you'll find it is all through your Bible. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. My friends, that's already beginning to take place. And I want to tell you that we are not conducting ourselves as a nation and as a people and as individuals of this nation as we should. A lot of our people go to other nations and we act like we're superior, we're better than they are, and hold them in contempt, and we're making them hate us. That's exactly what we're doing. That's our fault, my friends. We have what we call a good neighbor policy, and we don't practice it. Especially those of us who go to foreign nations. I tell you something that as Christians, if we figure we are Christians here in America, we ought to have the decency of remembering that we want other people in other nations to think well of our people and our nation. Let's try to behave ourselves a little better and go with a little more humility and a little more of the milk of human kindness and a little more Christianity if we travel into foreign nations than so many of our people have. We go arrogantly and as if we're so superior and so haughty, no wonder other people are beginning to hate us. Now here Jesus Christ looked down and said, we would be hated of all nations. And those that travel in foreign nations are realizing that that is beginning to set in, and if it is, my friends, it's our own fault. Let's just look into that looking glass, see our own selves in it, and realize we're not behaving like we should, and it's about time for us to wake up. Well now, there's going to come that famine and pestilence. A third of our people die, then the invasion. Unless we will turn to God, and every bit of this need not happen. If we'll only turn to God, He determines the outcome of these things, and God says that every individual that will turn to Him can escape every bit of this. You don't need to go through it. If the whole nation will go through it, you as an individual can be spared. Let me read you that. I've lost that place. I'm going to turn back once again now to the 21st chapter of Luke. After Jesus had explained all these terrible things in verse 22, He said, these be the days of vengeance. These be the days of vengeance. Then shall our people here fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon. Well, I'm coming to that a little later. And upon the earth, distress of nations, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things that are coming on the earth. That is what is prophesied. Now in verse 36, though, Jesus said, and you better listen carefully, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, that is, at the second coming of Christ. Showing that it would be happening right down just before the second coming of Christ. While we go along, we realize there is now not only the atomic bomb, but the hydrogen bomb, and we're being warned that it's possible to destroy an entire continent now in one night without warning. And what do? We go along here every day in our jobs and seeking our pleasures and our usual routines and never giving a thought to these things, not concerned. We don't realize what's coming. Well, I wanted to go clear through an outline of prophecy in this broadcast, but when I get to realizing what's coming, my friends, I've got to put a little bit of appeal into it to you people out there. I've got to put a little bit of earnestness into this because you're dead asleep, most of you, and you don't realize what's coming. And if all of us will only wake up and return to our God, it won't any of it happen. God help us then to wake up. It's time someone has to cry aloud and spare not and shout out to our people and thunder out God's warning that we will wake up before it's too late, that these things will not happen to our beloved nation and our people that I'm sure we all should love. But here it is. And Jesus said, there will be the greatest tribulation that has ever happened since there was a nation. Then shall be great tribulation such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But God says He will intervene for the elect's sake to shorten those days. Now there is the great tribulation. After this invasion, after this scattering of the people that remained as slaves, it happened once before, my friends. There's a duality in all the prophecies in your Bible. God's way is dual. God has a dual plan for everything in His fulfilling of His purpose. And you have to understand that principle of duality to understand the prophecies and to know what's going to happen. Listen, I know that most of you don't believe what you've just heard me say. Most of you are going to take it with a grain of salt. Most of you are going to pay no attention. Now listen, and listen carefully. It will happen if the United States does not wake up, if our people don't wake up. But there is a time coming when there are going to be literally hundreds of thousands of you people that have heard my voice warning you of these things, you have perhaps scoffed, you may have sneered, you may have said, well, who's that fellow? What does he know? God tells you that the ones that are saying, all is well, you shall have peace, are speaking a vision of their own heart and not warning the people of what God says is going to happen. But listen, there are going to be hundreds of thousands of you that when this thing happens, you're going to be dumbfounded, but you'll realize that you heard a real messenger from God telling you the truth. And God is going to give you one more chance after you've gone through this great tribulation. And many of you are going to have to go through it because you won't believe now. Because you won't heed now. Because you will scoff. Because you just can't believe it. Because you're too callous to realize the truth or to wake up. But you will realize it. And there is a time coming, and I'm going to mention that pretty soon, when there will be hundreds of thousands that then will cry out to God, and God will then put them under His protection, and He will receive them, and He will give them salvation. And they will realize then, after they've had to go through this suffering, what has happened. But oh, my friends, I hope you won't have to go through it. Because you're going to suffer as no human beings ever did if you do, and you need not. If you will turn now, if you will believe, if you will heed. Jesus Christ says, if you will pray without ceasing and watch, you shall be accounted worthy to escape all of these things, and none of them will come near you. And as He said, when the plagues come, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Now, what's going to happen immediately after the tribulation? Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's where God is going to begin to intervene. If He didn't intervene, there would no flesh be saved alive. At that time, my friends, Russia is going to be raising up. And Russia is going to start toward Europe and to invade it. And it's going to be such a time and such a condition that there would not be a human life left on earth. And then God is going to intervene. There will be terrific signs in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, in the heavens. And I'm going to have to save it until the next broadcast to show you what will happen. And then God is going to hold back everything else to give a lot of you that won't heed now one opportunity then after you've suffered through what men are going to do to you in this tribulation. Before God sends His punishments on this world. But out of it all, my friends, is going to come the glorious second coming of Christ and the happy, peaceful world tomorrow. It's darkest just before dawn, and it's getting pretty dark now.
So until next time, this is Herbert W. Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong.